Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
I have said this before, and let me just apologize up front here in case I get too riled up. Just understand that I love you guys, and I so appreciate the fact that you've taken your time out to be here. And but having said that, I'm gonna say some things this morning that my prayer is that it doesn't hit you sideways. My prayer is that you discern the hand of the Lord on what's being said, and that you understand and you allow Him to speak into your heart and draw your heart into His. Amen? Why don't we get everybody just to come up a little closer, just kind of fill in the first three rows or whatever, so that we're all kind of in the same spot. And while we're doing that, go ahead and turn to Psalms 145. I'm going to get into some things today. We're going to do a little bit of review from last week in Psalms 145, but then I'm going to get into some things about where the Lord wants to take us this year. And, you know, I got to be honest with you. If you're like me, I was raised in church my whole life. And, you know, I guess I kind of am glad that I was raised in church, I suppose, but I could have been raised, you know, someplace else. But how many know when you're around something long enough, you just kind of expect that it is a certain way? And you never really question it. You just kind of, well, this is just the way it is. But I want to tell you this, that the Spirit of God wants to radically alter what we view church is in 2017. Because I really believe this, the Spirit of God wants to raise up, and it's not just us, folks. We're just one of many. But He's raising up churches all over the United States of America and elsewhere that it's a different model. Everybody say a different model. It's so interesting. You know, we taught for probably close to a year or so on the Holy Spirit, your best friend forever, and we're really still in a series on authentic community. And it's been interesting to down through the years, as I got feedback from folks, it was interesting that they kept trying to squeeze it back into the familiar model. And of course, in the familiar model, you got a bunch of yabbits. How many know God doesn't care about yeah buts? Yeah buts. Yeah but, and then fill in the blank. He's not interested in yeah buts. Psalms 145, we went through this last week. It says this, it says, "My heart explodes with praise to you." Now this is you as an individual. Really, if you read Psalms 145, and I'm reading out of the Passion Translation, if you read Psalms 145, what you're going to find is this is the closest thing that we'll see in the Word of God to what authentic community is. Everybody say authentic community. Authentic. Somebody left their phone on up front here. Oh, okay. Gotcha. Psalms 145 says, "My heart explodes with praise to you now and forever. My heart bows in worship to you, my King and my God. Every day," everybody say every day, "I will lift up my praise to your name with praises that will last throughout eternity." We mentioned this last week. You notice that this all starts, Psalms 145 all starts with one person. It starts with one person and it says, "Every day I've established a life habit of bowing in worship to you." And I'm not necessarily saying this is physically. I mean, you can be driving down the road and you're bowing in worship to Him. This is a heart attitude. This is an expectation. This is where you've chosen to plant your preoccupation. And he says, my heart explodes with praise to you now and forever. My heart bows in worship to you, my King and my God. Every day I'll lift up my praise to your name with praises that will last throughout eternity. And we brought this up last week. Not only is this saying that when you praise him, the praises, you know, it says they'll last throughout eternity. Can you get a picture of this, that every time you open your mouth to release your praise towards him, it never goes away? So every time you do it, if it's a daily thing, think of how many layers and layers and layers and layers and layers and layers and layers of praise that you're setting forth, that you're putting into motion in the realm of the eternal, that are all for him. How many layers do you want to have this year that you've set in motion? But notice what happens here, because it's not all one-sided, it's a reciprocation. He says here, my heart explodes in praise to you. Every day I'll bow down and worship to you. My praises will be out and will last throughout eternity. Lord, verse 3, you are great and worthy of the highest praise, for there is no end to the discovery of the greatness that surrounds you. Notice that it's not a one-way street. The more you open your mouth and the more you set in motion praises towards him, the more you set your heart to bow and worship to him on a daily basis, he reciprocates by showing you and opening up heaven and your vantage point, and he begins to show you, and you begin to discover things about him. And if you'll read Psalms 145, you'll find out that this is a principle, that it starts with one individual and it goes on and it moves on to the masses. The same cycle. It's all in Psalms 145. Verses 4 through 6 says this, generation after generation will declare more of your greatness and discover more of your glory. There it is again. So it started with you. It started with your praise. It started with your heart attitude. It started with you bowing in praise to him. It started with you, with him being your preoccupation. And in reciprocation of that, he begins to unveil things about him and from him. And you begin to discover things that you never knew about him and from him. And then as a result of that, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And then it spreads from you, it starts going to the masses. And notice the same cycle, the same reciprocation. Verse 4, generation after generation will declare your greatness and discover. So there's a reciprocation. You declare his greatness and you discover. And it spreads to the ones that are in the earshot of you. And they declare his greatness and they begin to discover. Verse 5, your magnificent splendor and the miracles of your majesty are my constant meditation. Everybody say constant. Constant. Constant meditation. We're going to talk about some things today that are going to really address that. The reason why he gave praises every day, praises went up every day. The reason why you saw what you saw in verse 1, his heart bowed and worked, is because, verse 5, he was his constant meditation. Now, what was he meditating on? What was he thinking about all the time? Verse 6, your awe-inspiring acts of power have everyone talking. Why? Because you're the one that's doing all the talking. Your awe-inspiring acts of power have everyone talking. I'm telling people everywhere about your excellent greatness. Verse 7 through 9, our hearts bubble over. Notice it went from you to generation after generation. We celebrate the fame of your marvelous beauty. Everybody say, celebrate his fame. How much celebrating of his fame do we really do? Think about it. Don't give me the church answer. Just think about it. How much do we really do? Now let's say something else. Now obviously, if you read these verses, you'll find out that he's not talking about in his closet. Right? Because how are the generations after generations after generations going to sing praises to your name and discover you? And everyone's going to be talking about it. How are we going to celebrate the fame of your marvelous beauty, bringing bliss to our hearts? We shout with ecstatic joy over your breakthroughs for us. Notice the us is not you in your closet. The us is everyone that, as a result of your life, as a result of your mouth, and the breakthroughs that he's did for them, is all of those people combined. So it started with you and then it spread to the masses. Same cycle. It says, verse 8, you're so kind and tender-hearted to those who don't deserve it, and so patient with people who fail you. Your love is like a flooding river, overflowing its banks with kindness. God, everyone sees your goodness. So obviously this isn't you in the closet, is it? I want you to picture this. As you are verbally celebrating his greatness out there in life, in amongst the masses. Every time you open your mouth, you know, you notice at the beginning of 145, it says that when you sent praises to Him, that those praises were set in motion and they stay there for all of eternity. I want you to picture that when you open your mouth, and what comes out of your mouth is a celebration of His praises for Him, His greatness, and the magnitude of His power. I want you to notice what this verse sees it as. It says, it's like a flooding river that overflows its banks. What could we do in the city of Phoenix, Scottsdale, Glendale, Fountain Hills, and all the other cities combined? What could we do if we established a culture that we celebrated the fame of Him and we spoke about His power and His magnificent greatness all the time? Not in our church circles, out there in public life. Could we submerge these cities in that flooding river? I want you to get a picture of that. Your love is like a flooding river overflowing its banks with kindness. God, everyone sees your goodness, for your tender love is blended into everything that you do. You notice he said, at the beginning of these verses, he said this. He talked about your what he was meditating on. And I'm going to get into this a little bit later on about how we're going to shift and create an environment for you to be able to feed upon and meditate upon and have Him draw your heart into what's in His heart, and specifically what's in His heart for this church. Everybody say amen. Amen. But it's one thing for me to stand up here and say, well, you need to change the meditation of your heart. You need to shift the meditation of your... You need to shift the preoccupation of your thought processes from natural things over to the things, or as Paul calls it, the shifted over to the interests of Jesus. Everybody say the interests of Jesus. You know, Romans, there's an interesting verse in Romans. And, you know, I know what the NASB says and the King James version says and some of the other, you know, NIV and some of these other versions. But what I find is interesting is some of the other translations, how they word these things. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. Look what it says here. Obsession with self in these matters is a dead end. This is the Message translation. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. Obsession with self in these matters is a dead end. Attention to God leads us out into the open, into a spacious, free life. Everybody say a spacious, free life. And then if you look at the Passion Translation, he says it like this. Thinking patterns are formed by reference. You better understand what I mean by reference. What do you relate to the most? I mean, church house out of the way, Monday through Saturday life, what do you relate to the most? This verse is saying your thinking patterns are formed by reference. Or in other words, where you're rooted, where the origin of your thought processes are come from the most. Either the sensual appetites of the flesh and spiritual death, or Zoe life and total tranquility flowing from a mind addicted to spirit faith realities. You remember what Hebrews says, that faith is the evidence of things that are not seen? You know, if I don't do anything in my lifetime, my prayer is that the body of Christ will shift what our understanding of what faith is. Because frankly, we've brought over an evangelical understanding of what faith is, and I'm not trying to slam anybody, but it's a thought process. And what it does is it puts people into bondage. It ties millstones around their neck because we say, faith comes from you, get some. Problem. That's not what your New Covenant Bible teaches. Hebrews says that faith comes from Him. Hebrews says in chapter 11 that the faith that comes from Him is the evidence of things that are not seen. In other words, faith is His vehicle. And I'm going to say this, if you haven't heard me say it once, you're going to hear me say it 1,000 times or more. Faith is His vehicle to communicate to you what belongs to you in the realm of the eternal realm. When faith arises, when you read the Word of God and faith arises in your heart, the Spirit of God is simply communicating to you through a backdoor means, because darkness doesn't see it and doesn't have the capacity to. He's simply communicating to you, this belongs to you, take ownership of it. And believing is you walking out what he's given you in the back door, so to speak. Does that make sense? So faith is one thing and believing is something else. We've kind of done the same thing with faith as we did with grace. We made grace be mercy and we made faith be believing. Then they're not the same. Faith comes from Him. Faith is Him communicating to you. What did Paul say in Galatians? He said, the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's not His. It belongs to Jesus. He's given it to you. He uses it as a vehicle to communicate to you the realities that are in the eternal realm that you cannot see with your physical eyes. And what He wants you to do with that is He wants you to take a hold of it, take ownership of it, and then when you're walking it out, that's you believing. And you see the difference between faith and believing. Faith comes from Him. Believing is an action that comes from you. That's why it doesn't. It says in Mark chapter 16, it didn't say these signs follow them that have faith. Did you notice that? Probably not, because we've made faith and believing be the same thing, and they're not. He said, these signs follow them that believe, they'll lay hands on. Is laying hands on an action? It's a movement that comes from you, right? So believing is an action. It's a movement that comes from you. It's you acting on what faith revealed to you. That's just kind of a free side note. I didn't have it in my notes. So thinking patterns are formed by reference. What's your main point of reference for your life? Don't give the church answer either. Because he's simply saying, this is what he's simply saying. He's simply saying this. And he's simply saying this, and he's not talking, and I'm gonna borrow something from a gentleman who had a conference this last weekend. He's not talking about thinking about sin stuff. It has nothing to do with that. It just has to do with, it's like what your Bible talks about in Romans and other places. You're either anchored in your thought life or anchored in natural things, thinking natural things all the time. Your point of reference is natural things. You feed on natural things all the time. Or your point of reference, what's more real to you is the realm of what's real to the Spirit of God. And he's simply saying if we'll shift our preoccupation, everybody say my preoccupation. If we shift our preoccupation to make what's real to the Spirit of God real to you, more real to you, then he's simply saying that when you step out and act upon the things that you have made more real to you, that those things are going to produce the life and power and results of the life of God that Psalms 145 is talking about. That's why the writer of Psalm 145, David, said that this is my constant meditation. I'm constantly thinking about your greatness, your power, the majesty of your greatness. I'm constantly thinking about those things. It's constantly coming out of my mouth. And because it's constantly coming out of my mouth and I'm walking those things out, other people are catching on to it. And then they're beginning to see your greatness and your magnitude. And the thing is just spreading. And the more we spend time making this be our point of reference, the more he opens up your understanding and you begin to discover more and more and more of him. The biggest challenge that we have had in the body of Christ is we thought that the way you learn about God is you sit on your couch or you sit at your desk, wherever you sit someplace, you open your Bible and you just read. That's like trying to live life with one leg. Is it important? Absolutely. But I promise you, there are things that he wants you to discover out there living life with your preoccupation being him, with your reference being him and the realities or the things that are important to the Spirit of God, what are real to the Spirit of God. When you walk into a public arena, what's more real to you? The stores around you, the tile on the floor, the paint on the walls? Or when you look at people, do you see what the Spirit of God is seeing? What these verses are simply saying is just shift your realities, your reference point to these things that are, or as Paul puts it, the interests of Jesus and not your own. You know, we've often gotten upset about, well, I've laid hands on the sick, nothing's happened. I've prayed for the sick, nothing's happened. What was that, about 5 times? 10 times? 20 times? 50 times? Get to the place where you don't count them. Because you're not doing them so you can get them. You're doing them because this is who you are. It's just simply this is what you, as a son and a daughter of the King, this is what you do. I told you about my last weekend. We went to a restaurant and I began to strike up a conversation with the waitress. And I told her how much Jesus loved her, thought she was just an amazing individual. And I stepped out on a premise. I stepped out on an impression that I had, that I asked her. I said, do you have a son? Because I was thinking he was around 5 years old. And she looked at me and she says, no, actually I got 5 daughters. Well, kind of missed that. But I was out there now. What am I going to do? So I proceeded to talk to her, and I just began to talk to her about God and talk to her about Jesus, how much he thought she was amazing. And I told her, I said, you know, when your daughters grow up, they're going to grow up and call you blessed. And she said, you know, it's funny you say that, because just yesterday, you know, I've always been wondering, you know, what's my purpose in life and what's my assignment? She didn't use that word, but something like that. She wanted to know what was her assignment. Why was she here? And she said, I was in some store and some lady walked up to me and handed me her card and said, you know, your energy is so high and so strong and you just need somebody to help you tap into it. So give me a call. It was one of these spiritualists. She said, you know, I thought about going to her. I was thinking about going to her. I noticed that she went around, she had a cart. She's going around to all these other people and she had nothing in her cart. And she was kind of saying the same stuff, giving everybody her card. So I was thinking about going to her. The next day we show up in a restaurant. Do you think that was an accident? Do you think it was an accident that I sat in her booth, got her area where she was over, we sat down, and the Spirit of God began to minister to her and tell her that Jesus has claims to her life? I told her, I said, you understand this, that the more that you give your heart to him and let him draw your heart into his, the more he's going to reveal to you what your purpose and what your design is and why you're here. I said, I'm not talking about trying Jesus. I'm talking about giving your entire life to him 100%, all in. And you'll see within a month, or he'll start showing you what your purpose is. See, we don't realize, a lot of times we get so locked into our own thing and our own life and our own issues, you know, and church becomes, you know, basically, God, what have you done for me lately? What would life be like for you if life wasn't about you? What would it be like? Paul said this. He said, for I have no one else of kindred spirit who will generously be concerned for your welfare, for they all seek their own interest, not the interests of Jesus Christ. This next section is kind of broken up into two different sections. The first section is really, when it comes to authentic community, and I know I'm plugging this in for Best Life Church, but quite frankly, anybody of any church, any local church, really these apply to everybody, not just Best Life Church. I mean, anybody that's listening to us overseas or any other marketplace, these 2017 authentic community goals really are for any local church that's in existence. Number one, show up. Now let me explain this, okay? Because I don't mean this in a bad way at all. That's why I told you I may get real excited here, but I want you to understand I still love you guys. But look, I'm not just talking about Sunday morning. In fact, we need to understand that church isn't always about Sunday morning. Church is about the local body of believers 7 days a week. Imagine this. Let's just imagine. Okay, each one of you. Now, even you guys. You guys probably can't cook. I'm not very good at it either. I can make you some top ramen, but that's about it. I can make you spaghetti probably. But let's just say that you spent some time and you invited everybody over from the church. You invited everybody over for dinner, and you spent all day making whatever it was you were making. Whatever. You know, think about the best thing you can cook. And think about, you spend all day putting that together, making sure everything's good, making sure everything tastes just right, and everything, the tables are all right, everything's good, because you want to be a blessing to the folks, right? Right? Are y'all here today? Everybody, no, don't hit your neighbor. Just touch your neighbor, make sure they're still there. Okay, so you spend all day doing that, or you spend all week doing that, because you know, it's been on the calendar for a month, and you spend all week doing these things, and you put it all together, and you spend all your time and your effort, and you're just excited about it, and here comes the time, everybody's supposed to show up, and you're waiting, 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 and you're waiting. How would you feel if no one showed? How would you feel? So you know this is about the time when you'd walk you start being tempted. You wouldn't do it because you're way more mature than that. But this is when you'd be tempted to say, "Man, those sorry church people." You wouldn't do that because you're more mature than that. But imagine what that would feel like if you put your effort into something and you wanted to be a blessing to somebody, and then when the time came, no one shows. What if you had a home group? And you stepped out and you got out of your comfort zone and you wanted to have a home group and you step out and say, okay, I'll have one. You pick the day and the time and you get it all set up and here is it's ready for your first home group and the time comes and one person shows up. How would that make you feel? Don't get churchy. I'm gonna feel, you need to be honest. Don't tell me either. I know what you're thinking. How would it make you, disappointed, because you spent all day cleaning your house. You wanted to make sure it was just right. You wanted to make sure that the surroundings, the environment, everything was a blessing to your church family. And then one person shows. You notice in this screen it says show up, but underneath it says value other people's time. Do you realize that when you do show up, you're showing that you value people's time? Let me ask that again. You realize when you do show up, you're communicating by your actions that you value others' time. That's authentic community. Ain't we having fun? Notice this. Scripture says this, therefore encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those. Everybody say appreciate. Those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction that you may esteem them very highly in love because of their work, live in peace with one another. Now, granted, I know this is talking about, in a local church setting, it's talking about the leaders in a local church. But look, the principle applies to everybody across the board, right? Anybody who is investing their time for someone else in the church, right? Home groups, meals, whatever it is. This scripture says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. How many know when you show up? Everybody say show up.
Show up.
When you show up, you're giving preference to someone else. How many know that's scriptural? That's authentic community. Another verse says this, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. Everybody say more important. Now, granted, here's the thing that we're risking here when I read this verse. We're risking in this verse, for some reason, in modern Christianity, we feel like to value someone else as more important than yourself, that means you put yourself down. That's not what this verse is saying. That's twisted. Understand, when the Spirit of God says this, the Spirit of God is also assuming that you're allowing Him to set you free from you. So there is no twisted version of making somebody else be more important by you putting yourself down. You're all sons and daughters of the King. But yet, the Holy Spirit is telling us that part of the environment of authentic community is walking, number one, in humility of mind, regarding one another as more important than yourself. So, when we show up, what are we doing? Let me put that screen back up. It's only been four screens, we never forgot. Showing up means what? We're valuing others' time in anything. It doesn't matter whether it's home group. It doesn't matter whether it's meals. It doesn't matter if somebody's opened up their home for, just to have to be a blessing, whatever. It doesn't matter any of that stuff. If we show up, we're showing each other that we value their time. Number two, connect and encourage each other during the week. Let me ask you a question, and I want to show a hands. How many have a phone list that we passed out that has everybody's phone numbers and emails on it? Everybody look around. Keep your hands up. Raise them up real high so everybody can see. How many has one of those lists? Okay, how many called somebody in Best Life Church this last week to encourage them? Put your hands up. How many did that the week before? How many did the week before that? That's authentic community. Notice what this says. Ephesians 4:16 says this, "For his body has been formed in his image and is closely joined together and constantly connected as one." Look around the room. You're constantly connected as one, everybody in this room. And anybody else that will be added to this body will be constantly connected to them as one. He says this, "And every member has been given divine gifts to contribute to the growth of all." Did you know that God's put something inside of you that He wants you to make available for someone else to grow up into? Isn't that amazing? "All these gifts are imparted and operate effectively throughout the whole body. We are built up and made perfect in love." Verse 25. "For all belong to one another in one body." Verse 26. "So as a result, be passionate." Can you see where there really isn't any room for you in this whole scenario? Did you know, since we brought it up, did you know that Sunday mornings isn't even about you? I'm going to say that again. Did you know Sunday mornings isn't even about you? I said this last week. There's been times, folks, we've had brand new people sitting in the seats, brand new, first week. They look around, there's nobody here. First of all, what does that say about Best Life Church? Second of all, what does that say about Jesus? Third of all, does that communicate anything about, you know what, I think this is a good body I can get involved with? You remember in the book of Acts when it says that he added to the church daily them that should be saved? And I told you that the picture in the Greek New Testament of that verse is Jesus literally escorting someone down the middle into the middle of a group of people and looking at the group of people and saying, "I'm leaving this person in your care, in your charge." But when we don't do that, we're giving him nothing to add to. I know Jesus is not about nothing. I'm going to say that again. You know, Jesus is not about nothing. So we need to understand, as the body of Jesus, and I'm not talking about the universal, this is a local church, like I said, it applies to every local church that's ever been, ever will be, ever is now. The local church is not about you, it is about what the person he wants to add to it. And as you've seen in previous scriptures, he's put giftings and abilities in you that he wants you to allow him to make available to grow those other people up into those very things. You can say amen. Galatians 5:13, "Beloved ones, God has called us to live a life of freedom in the Holy Spirit." Everybody says, sweet! But don't view this wonderful freedom as an opportunity to set up a base of operations for the natural realm. I like the way this is worded, because we're not talking about sin versus not sin. We're talking about that point of reference we started with. He says, don't allow your freedom. He doesn't mean to set up a base of operations for the natural realm. Freedom means, and by the way, what I'm getting ready to read is a combination of what the Aramaic says, what the Septuagint New Testament says, and Greek. Freedom means that we become so completely free of self-indulgence that we become servants to one another. Everybody say servants to one another. Expressing love in all we do. I think I had these misnumbered. You need to pray for your pastor that he can count. Because that was number two. This is supposed to be number three. Everybody say follow and finish.
Follow and finish.
Did somebody just say crap? Everybody say follow and finish again. Check it out. Philippians chapter 2, verse 2 says this, I'm asking you, my friends, that you be joined together in total unity with one heart, one passion, and united in one love, walking together with one harmonious purpose. Notice verse 3 through 5. In authentic humility, put others first and view others as more important than yourselves. Verse 4. Possess a greater concern for what matters to your friends instead of your own interests. Verse 5. And consider the example that Jesus, the Anointed One, has set before us. Let His mindset become your motivation. Everybody say follow and finish. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't just say, you know what, I quit, before He went to the cross? Aren't you glad He didn't say, you know what, this is just more than I signed up for? In fact, in the garden, it's interesting, in the garden, you know, we've often wondered, you know, what was that whole discourse between him and his father where he said, you know, not my will, but your will. We don't realize that Jesus was making a decision because he was going through an environment and a situation physically that literally was trying to take him out right then. And he made a conscious decision, I am not going out right now. I'm going to the cross. In fact, Hebrews says that he saw the future, he embraced it, and he took it, and he finished. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. If there's one thing the Spirit of God does not like, it's electrical wires that have shorts in them. Do you guys ever had an electrical wire that has a short in it somewhere? Man, I can't stand that. You move it a certain way, and you know, like the light, you know, or whatever you have plugged in turns on, and then you let go of it and it goes out. You're like, give me a break. And so you're trying to find out where the short is, and it's about as dependable. In fact, there's a verse in Proverbs that talks about, you know, somebody who's not dependable is kind of like that. Jesus was he's saying this, let his mindset become your motivation. Do you understand that I didn't write these verses? Because it would almost seem that, you know, I went home and, okay, I'm gonna make up these verses to fit what I want to talk about. I didn't write any of these verses, did I? Are they all in here? You know what that tells us? That natural man all thinks the same way. Natural man all thinks the same way. And our reference point is not supposed to be our natural man. Our reference point is supposed to be the things of the Spirit of God and what's real to Him. And He's communicating to us in these verses what's real to Him as far as what's authentic. He says, in authentic humility, put others first. View others as more important than yourselves. Possess a greater concern for what matters for your friends instead of your own interests. Consider the examples of Jesus, the Anointed One, has set before us. Let His mindset become your motivation. And then this verse, Philippians 3:14-17. I run straight for the divine invitation of reaching the heavenly goal and gaining the victory prize through the anointing of Jesus. Verse 15. Let all who are fully mature, everybody say fully mature, have this same passion. And if anyone is not yet gripped by these desires, a God will reveal it to them. And, verse 16, let us all advance together to reach the victory prize, following one path with one passion. My beloved friends, imitate my walk with God and follow all those who walk according to the way of life we've modeled before you. Everybody say, follow and finish. You know, there's some things that we're going to get into. My hope is this year. But there's some things that need to fall into place. But in order for us to do these things, we have to have one passion and one purpose. And we have to have those that are following and they're willing to finish. Everybody say, I'm willing to finish. This is a good one here. Number four. This is supposed to be four, not three. Number four. Yes is yes. No is no. Speak clear. You remember what Paul said about this? 2 Corinthians 1:17-18. He said this. Do I make plans with unprincipled motives, ready to flip-flop with a, quote, yes or and a, quote, no in the same breath? Of course not. Verse 18. For as God is true to His word, my promise to you was not a fickle, quote, yes, when I meant no. And then this is the Mere translation, which is a fantastic translation also. It is not our style, same verses, it is not our style to hesitate between two opinions. We have no desire to make promises that we cannot keep, excuse me. When we said yes to you, we did not mean no. God certainly is our persuasion. There is no maybe in Him. How many of you ever talked to somebody and you're trying to get a yes or some kind of a solid something and all you kept getting was, well, maybe. Maybe. You know what that is? I really want to say no to your face, but I'm trying to do self-preservation here and I don't want to be that person and show what's really in my heart, so I won't say yes, I'll just say maybe. Or I won't say no, I'll just say maybe. You understand this is all habits of a natural man. We're not even talking about sin. We're just talking about natural thought process. This is why, like the King James, the NSB, NASB, NIV, he says, let your yes be yes. We need, what was number four? Yes is yes, no is no, and speak clear. How many know that when you establish a lifestyle of speaking clear, that what you're actually doing is you're training your own conscience what to expect from Him? Often we judge Him according to the integrity of our word. Your conscience does that, whether you realize it or not. So Let's have integrity so that we are not sowing seeds of instability into our own unconscious expectations. See, if we're people that our yeses are yes, and our noes are no, and we don't have ulterior motives, and we're not trying to do self-preservation, we're saying one thing when we really actually mean something else, but we don't want anybody to know that until we're out of their sight. Because then when I don't show, there's no skin off of me because I'm not there. And by the time I see them again, they may not remember anyway, so I'm good. It's all about me. Me, 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 me. And when you take me out of the center of things, your behavior, everything changes. And he says here, he said, you know, I said this, that often will your subconscious mind oftentimes will take the same standard that you utilize with people, and you'll expect that with him. But he said, all the promises of God are, you notice I didn't say they're maybe. They're yes. Is his yes mean yes? You know why you don't believe it sometimes? Because yours isn't. And we don't realize we've trained our conscience to expect how we are. So if we tighten that up. So if we eliminate the practice of speaking veiled words. Everybody say veiled words. What's veiled words? Well, you kind of talk around the barn on something. We don't even get to the point. Yet your yes is yes, and you speak clear. Words that come from an agenda only you know. Out of self-preservation, we don't speak clear. What we're doing, we're sowing instability into our own life. Okay, number five. Take ownership. Everybody say, take ownership. Take ownership of what is in Father's heart for BLC. And again, this applies to any local church in the Valley or any local church around the world. We've made the mistake, folks, of thinking that local church was... Well, I don't even know what we thought it was. We made a mistake of not realizing that local churches exist. Everybody hold your Bible up. If it's on your phone, you can hold your phone up. You know, I have mine on my iPad, so here you go. You realize that much, if not most, all of the New Testament that is written that you have in your possession, they were all written to specific local churches. Everybody say specific. Now, yeah, they were passed around to other local churches, but they were written to specific local churches, right? Every one of those local churches has an assignment that is from the heart of Father for their area. So what we need to understand and come to grips with, folks, and this is all about following and finishing. It's all about showing up. It's all about valuing other people's time. It's all about taking ownership of what is in the heart of Father for this church. If this is the church you say is your local church, then understand this. It is not about me. It is not about Pastor Shelby. It is not about Miss Kimberly. It's not about anybody else. It is about what is in the heart of Father for this local church. What is He trying to accomplish in this city and the surrounding area? Period. Everybody look at each other and say, He still loves you. I long for the day that every local church that has ever existed and is existing right now, I long for the day when the people in those churches get it. It's not about anything except what does the Father want to accomplish? What is the assignment? What is in His heart? Why did He call that church to exist? You remember the story of the feast? The wedding feast? Some of your translations call it a wedding feast. The individual that was hosting the feast told the servants to go out and get all the ones that were invited. What happened? Exactly. Nobody showed up. They all pulled out their yeah buts. They all pulled out their yeah, but I got to go. I bought some property. I got to go check it out. You mean you bought it without seeing it? Well, I just got married. And? You know what's so funny? This makes me laugh. Now, I've been doing this thing for a long time, guys. I've seen everything, I think. But, you know what's so funny? You know, yeah, maybe not. You know, it's funny. It's down through the years we've done things that it's not just this church, but any church I've been a part of. And a certain couple is missing. So then the next time we see them, we say, hey, man, where we at? We missed you. Oh, well, my wife, she couldn't come. Do you have a car? Do you know how to drive? Is there some kind of umbilical cord that's connected to her that if you get, I mean, you don't have one of those exploding bracelets on your hand, do you, that if you get too far away from your wife, it'll just blow up? You laugh, but I've seen it so many times, more than I can count. If one spouse can't make it, the other one doesn't show. And you can flip it the other way too. It's the same. It's the same. Notice what happened in Luke chapter 14. Look at verse 24. So the servants came back and they said, well, we went and invited everybody you invited, but they all said they were all busy. He says, I say to you, the one who receives an invitation to the feast with me and makes excuses will never enjoy my banquet. Everybody say, never enjoy. In 2017, God wants to take you someplace. Man, there's a lot I want to say on this, guys, but I can't say it today. Because your New Testament is nothing but this. We've made it be all about everything else except for this thing. But it's about this. He wants to take you some places in 2017, but there are certain places that He wants to take you that unless you're plugged into a local church, you ain't gonna get there. Because the local church exists, yes, it is in place to fulfill the desire of the Father's heart. But I will tell you this too, the local church is in existence to be a constant heart check for you and for me. Because if the local church didn't exist, there's nothing to check our hearts. Well, I got the Holy Spirit, He'll check. Yeah, but He always sounds like you. You laugh, but it's true. You know how many times I've heard somebody tell me, well, the Holy Spirit told me, and then they begin to spew something that isn't even scriptural. The local church is on the planet, in every city of the world, hopefully, to be a heart check for believers. Number one, here's your first heart check. This is a whole other message. But your first heart check is whether you're willing to submit to authority. Do you notice in 1 Corinthians, the most carnal church? The most carnal church. You remember what Paul said about what was going on? He said, you know, some of you are saying, you know, I follow this man, or I follow this person, or I follow that person. And some of you say, oh, well, I follow Jesus. They don't want to submit to any earthly leadership at all. Do you know that everything he mentioned there is all about how natural man acts? Is that seriously how we're supposed to act as the body? But we make it all spiritual. When Paul's saying that's nothing but natural man. So the very first thing that the local church exists for is for to give us a place that we can know what's in our hearts. Philippians 2:21, it seems as though everyone else is busy seeking what's best for themselves instead of the things that are important to the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 13:22, notice what he said about David. Son of Jesse, a man who always pursues my heart and will accomplish all that I have destined him to do. He's going to accomplish all that he was destined to do because he's willing. He pursues his heart. How many know the local church is the heart of Father? Ah, that was good. How many know the local church is the heart of Father? You guys might as well get used to it because there is no other way to write this. If you read 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, any of those, they're all local churches. They're all written to pastors of local churches. And notice what he says in those letters. We're the ones that made it be, well, I like it when it means every big old huge thing, a universal church. He's not talking to the universal church. He's talking to local churches. They did get passed around to other churches, but the letter is designed for local churches. Right? Acts 22. The reason why David was going to accomplish all that was destined for him to accomplish is because he pursues the heart of Father. Father's heart is never, never, never. Everybody say never. Never going to, and I realize I'm preaching to the choir here, but you know someone is never going to lead you not to plug in to a local church, because that is not how that's not his bent. I don't care how we spin it, twist it, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's not his bent. Galatians 4:19. You are my dear children, but I agonize in spiritual labor pains once again until the Anointed One will be fully formed in your heart and become visible through your lives. Discovering Him in 2012. How many got that book, Attack Lambs? How many have got one? How many don't have one?
Attack what?
Attack Lambs. I passed it out. I think it was just on the tail end of the...
We don't have one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who doesn't have one? Just happen to have extras. You guys get two of them because you...
We can share one.
No, you can have it. Okay, here's one for you. Who else? You got one here? Who else did... You need one? You have one? Do you have one for both? Okay, well... I'll get you another one. I got them in my car. No, I got them in my car. I just don't have them right now in this room. So how many do not have one? You need one more because you only have one. You have one for each? Okay, so you're good. You don't have one, do you? I'll get you one. In the parking lot. Chase me down. Okay. Everybody back there got one? Okay. So here's what we're going to do with this book this year. Every chapter has one specific point in that chapter that chapter is trying to get over to us. There's 21 chapters, 21 months. Your job is to read a chapter a month. That's not hard. And reread it and reread it and reread it until the Spirit of God shows you what that one thing is. Remember that movie years ago? The guy on the horse, the cowboy, talked about the one thing? Okay, each chapter there's one thing that the Spirit of God wants to show you. And honestly, it could be different for each individual. He wants to show you one thing that will be a heart check for you. We just call it a checkup. Write it down. And then one thing that will be a life pursuit for you. Write it down. Once He showed you those things and you've written them down, then the rest of that month, work on building those things into your life for that month. Everybody understand what I'm saying? I mean, I got a whole lot of notes on my phone. I just simply read, things that stood out to me. I just read them into my phone, into my notes. I created notes that way. I created my checkup and my life pursuit for each chapter. So you don't even have to write them down. You can just read it into your phone. We're talking about shifting our preoccupation, shifting our what we're meditating on, thinking about all the time. This book will do that. He wants to develop people that are willing to be utilized to pray over our city, to pray over our schools, pray over. Imagine if we would get it, the heart of Father into us, and we would be willing to go walk around the malls, the places, and just pray for the people. You don't have to make a big scene. You can just walk the mall and pray for the people. Listen to the heart of Father and pray out things that He gives you right then. What if we had people that were willing to attend the city council meetings in Phoenix and Fountain Hills and all these other areas? They were willing to, even if they didn't do anything, but just sit there and pray out of their spirit for the city and listen to what the Spirit of God is saying and listen to what they said their needs of the city were. What if we had people that were attending those things all the time and were willing to be utilized and give their life to that, to where we could be, as a church, we could be a blessing to the cities around us because we were connecting into where they were living. We were praying over what they had need of and we were willing to be utilized to meet those needs. What if we were willing to walk around the community colleges and pray for the kids that are getting all kinds of who knows what. But we're willing to declare the name of Jesus and the power of God and Psalms 145 and exalt His magnificent splendor and believe God that His presence will influence those campuses and those people, those kids, and the plans and purposes that He has for those individuals in their expertise, field of expertise, will be utilized and fulfilled and realized because somebody was willing to give their life to pray for people they didn't even know. And then on top of that, I have messages that I want to give, that I want to email to you once a month. Not mine. There are other ones that I esteem as important. If I sent them to you, would you be willing to listen to one single message for an entire 30 days? Now think about what you just said yes to, because your yes is yes. If I sent you a message, would you be willing to listen to it every day for 30 days? What would happen to you at the end of that 30 days? You know what would happen to you? That message would become you. So I want to do that. I want to send you guys messages. I think I have everybody's email address. I don't know all the technical stuff, some kind of way, however it works, get it on your phone. But listen to it every day, get it into you, make it become you. Some other things that we want to set in motion in this church, and it has to do with giving you the ability to change our preoccupations. We've done some research and we want to set up a library. Right now I have about 20 titles. I have about 20 titles of books that they all have to do with where the Spirit of God is trying to establish us as a church. And in this city. I think to bring those 20 tiles in, I think we're looking at about $230. We'll have them out here. We already have the book displays already. They're very mobile, so we can just wheel them out and put them away. You know, they're just basically just commercial book displays. But we'll grow. We'll build the 20 titles. As the money comes, we'll build the 20 titles and we'll develop even more. But right now, I got 20 titles that I'm waiting to bring in. But imagine if you had access to those and all you had to do is just check one out. And, you know, obviously, you know, we're trusting everybody to bring them back. You know, I mean, a library system runs about just that much more, $200-something. You know, to put it on software and manage all the books, the checkouts, check-ins, all that kind of stuff, scan barcodes, whatever. But we don't have to start there. We can just simply start with a three-ring binder with a notebook piece of paper with the title of a book at the top. And every time somebody checked it out, you put your name down. When you checked it in, you crossed it off. That's where we could start. But I want to do that. I believe we want to do that this year. Another thing I want to do is, we want to begin to focus on what God's doing in our lives on a daily and weekly basis, and we want to recognize those things. This is not the container that we'll end up with, but it's all I had that I could find right now. But what I'm telling you is this, is every week when you walk through the door, even if it's during praise and worship, if you remember something God's done for you that week, write it down on a piece of paper. And come and put it in this container, or whichever one we end up with. And at the end of the year, we got this idea from you guys. At the end of the year, we're going to read what God's done for the folks in this church. Because our focus is going to be, we're going to expect God to do some big things. And while I'm on that subject, I'm going to pass around these cards. What I want you to do with those cards is I want you to write down one thing, the biggest thing that you want to see God do in your life this year. And I'm talking about in your life. Don't get spiritual and say, well, I want you to feed the hungry of the world. I'm talking about you. The biggest thing you want to see God do, even if it's in your mind, in fact, it's better if it's so beyond what you can even believe where you are today. That's what I want you to write down on that card. And what we're going to do with these cards, and I don't want you to sign your name, nothing. Don't sign your name. You just put the biggest thing that you want to believe God for, the thing that's absolutely the most impossible in your thought process that you want to believe God for this year. Put it down on that card. Because the Word of God says that He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can even think. So if what you're thinking right now is beyond, you're saying this is beyond what I can even imagine, but I want to put it down because I want to see God do this in my life. That's exactly the thing I want you to write down on that card. Did everybody get one? I don't know where they went. I'm assuming, did the cards make it over there? Okay. We're going to pray over them today, but also what I'm going to do is this. On top of this container that has all of our thankfulness, things God's done for us on a weekly basis, that you come up during the service any given week and put it in here. During some designated prayer times, there's going to be a container that has all these cards of things that people are believing God to do, the biggest things they could possibly come up with they believe in God to do in this year. And you're going to be able to come up and you're going to be able to reach in and you're going to be able to take one and you're going to be able to go back to your seat and you're going to be able to pray over that card and then write down what the Spirit of God shows you. And then come put it back in the jar. In the right one. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Y'all are just thinking. Yeah. How many come out of their house Monday through Saturday? How many leave their house? At least once. How many leave their house at least once Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday? How many never leave their house and the only thing you see is your four walls of your house? Okay. Here's what we're going to do. Number 5 says love in action. We're going to develop in this church on Sunday mornings, we're going to develop a time where you're going to live life Monday through Saturday, and wherever you are, you're going to stretch yourself. And you're going to talk to people, and you're going to bring God into that conversation. And then you're going to bring Jesus into that conversation. And then you're going to believe God to give them an encouraging word. And you're going to note the responses. You're going to note what God does in those situations. And we're going to set up a time on Sundays, part of the service, where the people that have done that and they've had interaction with other people will get to come up and give praise for what God did during the week. Does everybody understand that? I already mentioned attending city council. Folks, I'm serious about this. Can you tell me what the biggest need of Phoenix is right now? Can you tell me what the biggest need of any of the cities that we live in are right now? Well, yeah, that's a given. Yeah. But from their vantage point, what is their biggest need? Do you know? And everybody said, no. You know why? Because we're not involved with them. I'm serious about this, folks. Does anybody even know when their city council meetings are? What if some of you made a decision, you know what, I'm going to get involved and do this. What if you decided to find out when the city council meetings were, and you decided to, even if it was just one a month, and all you did is sit in a seat, and while they're discussing city business, you were just praying in the Spirit. And if anybody asks you a question, you say, "Well, I'm just here to be a support." And you're just sitting in the chair, and you're just praying in the Spirit, and you're taking notes, and you're listening to what's being said, and you're getting wisdom from the Spirit of God on how we can help, how we come alongside of our leaders and be a blessing to them in our cities. You do understand that that's what the Spirit of God is expecting us to do, these things. Amen? He doesn't want us holed up in a house all by ourselves. The question is there anybody that has a heart to do that in these seats? Is there anybody that would allow the Spirit of God to make themselves available to do this, even if it was just once a month? We talked about prayer walking the malls. That book, Attack Lambs, is all about that. Folks, in 21 months, think about this. If you did what your pastor asked you to do and read one chapter a month and came up with a check and a life pursuit, and you found out in that chapter to you what was the main point, and you worked on building that into your life for that month, and then every chapter you built on that, imagine what you'll look like in 21 months. Imagine what the impact that we'll have on our cities. Imagine what it will do to your expectation. Because we've now started to expect God to do big things out of the public eye. Because that's why we're out there praying. Everybody say, free indeed. I almost called this a Stairway to Heaven, but you know, I don't know if Dave could play that song or not, but no. No, the piano. But what you see on the screen here is I'm gonna get this printed out, and it's probably about that big. It's very portable. But what you see on the screen here is, you know, a lot of times it's hard to gauge where you're at on your development with the Spirit of God. But the Spirit of God gave me this as a way for you to realize where you're at and have a goal to shoot for, to develop at a higher level. You notice the very first one is the foundation. And each one of these planks or these steps, they're all built on the other one. It's not you do one, then you do the next. You're developing in all of them. You remember when Jesus said, "Whom the Son sets free is free indeed"? Do you realize that we haven't really realized what free is? We think we're free just because we got saved, or we think we're free because we know certain doctrines. We think we're free because fill in the blank. But the reality of it is you're free when the world has zero effect on you. But you're right in the middle of them. It's easy to say you're free indeed, but you never come out of your house. It's easy to say you're free indeed when you're never interacting with anybody as a stranger and bringing up Jesus. So what if we had a way to where you could know what you look like at the next level? It starts off prayer walking in your neighborhoods, your malls. If you read the Attack Lamb books, you'll find that he uses the term park the ark. It just simply means to take up a position someplace geographically and just begin to pray over your surrounding area, the people in your surrounding area, wherever that would be. What if that was our starting place? And when we developed from there, we developed into initiating ongoing conversations. I'm not talking about conversations at a gas pump. "How's it going?" "Fine." "Good." That's not an ongoing conversation. Or, "What's up?" That's not an ongoing conversation. an ongoing conversation is, you walk into a mall, and you, let's say, just for example, you walk into a mall, and you walk into one of the stores. How many know the person in that store is a captive audience? Now, if they're trying to conduct business, and they have 15 people in there, don't do this. But if they're the only one in there, I've been into malls sometimes where it's like around 9 o'clock. They're getting ready to close anyway, and there's nobody in the place. So I'll walk in, and they're a captive audience. I'll just start talking to them. And I'm gonna talk to them, and I'm going to listen from the Spirit of God according to what they're saying. And I'm gonna go right up this ladder. I'll move from going from ongoing conversations, and I'll go right into talking about God. And if that, maybe that's comfortable for you. Maybe you already do. That's good. Well, then what about mentioning Jesus in the conversation? Is that comfortable for you? Well, that would be where you start. If that's not comfortable for you, then you start at that you start at that level. And everywhere you go, you've already been praying for people. You already know how to start ongoing conversations. You already know how to talk about God. So now you bring Jesus into the conversation. And then you move from there. When you're comfortable with that kind of thing, you're bringing an encouragement into their life. And then you'll move from that place. You go from bringing God into the conversation to now you're getting specific prophetic encouragement for them from the Spirit of God. You do know that's how you're wired, right? I said, right? It's not somebody else. It's not somebody else's gifting. If you have his DNA, you're wired for this. So you go from being comfortable with praying in public, ongoing conversations, bringing encouraging words in people's lives, mentioning God in conversations, bringing up Jesus and then believing and getting specific prophetic encouragements for people in their lives, to praying for people in public. Well, I've never done that. What if everything else is all comfortable for you except for that one? Well, that's where you start. Until that's comfortable for you. You're already doing all the other ones. Praying for people in public becomes comfortable for you. And then, now you go to the place where you override apprehension all the time. It's part of your life. I mean, it always comes up, you know, because there's the unknown. I'm not sure how they're going to react. But you'll get to the place in your life where you'll override apprehension. And then you'll go to the next level. And that is, it's now become a normal part of your life. And ultimately, the top of it is you've now detoxed from the world. Everybody say detoxed. Until all of these are built into your life, you're not detoxed. Paul said this. He said, I am completely circumcised from the effect of the world. Completely. They have absolutely no effect on me at all. Why? He did all of that. This is where the Lord has taken us in 2017. Because He wants to build and raise up a people that are free indeed, not just they're free because they say they are. But they really are. I am so excited about 2017, I can't tell you. And I've told people this. I said, you know, I told everybody last week, I said, you know, I'm not saying this is the case, I'm not saying it's gonna happen, but I'm saying this, that even if we left today and not one person came back, Best Life Church might cease for a brief period of time. But it would be back. But it would be back with people that you didn't know, and you had no interaction with, and you were a stranger in your own church. I don't want to be that. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that guy in the feast scenario where, you know, I walk into a local church sometime down the road, some years later, and I realize as I'm standing in that local church, and the Spirit of God says, "That's what I wanted to do with you." I don't want to be that guy. We don't want to be that people, do we? I'm telling you, 2017, if we'll allow him, if we'll make ourselves available, I'm telling you, he's going to take you to a place that you never dreamed you could ever stand. And he's going to raise your level of normal to a degree that you never dreamed was normal and was attainable. Did you guys get anything out of this today? Anybody have any questions about anything we've talked about? Maybe your question is somebody else's. And they won't answer. They won't ask. Here. Well, somebody else may have that question, Andy.
So number one, I have to go back to when you were talking about the faith, and I was wondering what are you saying in that? Are you saying, this is what I wrote down, and we're so far past that, I'm not sure it'll make sense, but so are you saying that it's not our responsibility on faith, that we're just renewing our mind in regards to the faith that Jesus has already provided? As he says, he gives each person a measure of faith. Is that what you were trying to say in that segment?
Yeah, what I'm saying is this. Our job as his offspring, your job is to farm revelation of the Word of God and connect it part and parcel with that revelation flowing to you is the faith that reveals to you that it belongs to you. You ever notice that when you had a revelation of Scripture, that's when faith shows up? They're tied together. They're not separatable. So our job is to farm revelation from the Word of God. That's why you can't exist. You cannot be a child, a man, woman of God. You cannot exist in the victorious, overcoming stages of life, of his life, without being rooted and planted in the Word of God. You just can't. Because you're not getting that revelation. And if you're not getting that revelation, then you're trying to manufacture your own faith that is not coming from him.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
And then two things that I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, and that was, number one, that Rich and I love you and Shelby, and we appreciate all the effort that you do in the church. But how does that work, this showing up? And also, I don't know how Rich feels about this, but I give anybody total permission to speak into my life. If I'm having a bad attitude or saying something, you know, like I've had coffee with Shelby and I'll say something that she'll say, but that's not what the Lord says, or read this scripture, whatever. So, y'all, you have my permission. But how does this look? It's totally overwhelming to me and I want to cry because we have so much responsibility.
Sure.
I go to school full time.
Sure.
I have a full time job. And I don't mean to cry, but this is how I feel.
But you know what's so good? Here's the thing that's so cool is that everything we do here is recorded.
Great.
So even if you don't, you know, I understand folks have extenuating circumstances, but the thing that's so great is you can go get the message. You don't miss a beat.
Okay, but see, that's what I'm asking. So if we can't come to church on that Sunday because we have to go help our son or my mom, or today we're late and we're supposed to be visiting a friend in the hospital.
Sure.
How does that look? How does that work? I want the rules, I guess, is what I'm saying.
I got you. Well,
just like on everything that you said at the very end, I need a sheet that says this is do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 through 10. I don't know if that's how my brain works.
Yeah, I hear you. I follow you.
Like,
it's really about just staying plugged in. I mean, even if plugging in for you is you go to the website, you pull the message, and you listen to the message.
Because I have to miss that.
Because you have to. I mean, it's, you know, but then you plug in any way you can with anybody else. You know, whether it's getting together for coffee or whatever. When you're available, when you can, You know, it really, all that stuff, it really speaks to heart attitudes. It's not about outward actions. It's about heart attitudes. I can't answer for anybody's heart attitudes because I'm not in you. Only you can. Obviously, folks that have extenuating circumstances, we're not saying that, you know, be here or be square, because everybody has extenuating circumstances, but it really speaks to the heart attitude of things where even if you're gone, you're still plugging in because you're still going to the website pulling the message. You know, I don't care if you're gone for a month. I mean, it's not the best, but at least you're plugging in. At least you didn't miss anything. Where the challenge is if somebody comes for a month and they don't come back for 4 weeks and they don't go to the website, pull the messages, and they don't listen to them, so it becomes them, then they're not the foundation that the Spirit of God is laying in the church, they're not there. They're completely detached because they didn't allow the Spirit of God to implant and deposit into them anything that He did on the weeks that they were not there, and they didn't get it, and they didn't make it be a part of them when they pulled it down from the website. That's the reason why we put everything on the website, so that when some folks can't get here, that they can still get it in them. They don't miss what the Holy Spirit is trying to lay as a foundation for the church. Does that answer your question? Okay. Is that, are you sure? Okay. That's really what it's about, guys. It's all about, it's really just, you know, stay plugged in. Even if that means you go to the website, pull the message. And you listen to it. You know, you'd be shocked how many folks probably even haven't even been to the website. There's so much material on that website. All of our core values, all of the scriptures that is the core values that came from the Spirit of God as to why this church exists, I didn't make them up. He literally gave me those and gave me every scripture that's part of those. And His desire is, I mean, I taught a whole entire message for I don't know how many months it was on the core values. It's all on the website. This all has to do with, it's just a hard attitude. It's not, I mean, would we love to have everybody here all the time? Absolutely fantastic.
One other question.
Sure. Yeah. No, the messages are not. The workbook.
I went online to see if I could buy it, you know?
Yeah.
I couldn't find it anywhere, so other than last week's
message, Rich and I pretty much
kept up, but we couldn't do it now.
Sure, sure, sure.
So I'm not really sure what to do about that.
You know what?
Sorry.
I have those messages, and they are a part of the foundation of where He's trying to get us to go. I will, if you, sure, sure. Well, that's a pretty good idea. Yeah. Yeah. Which is awesome. Yeah. I understand. Let me ask you guys something. How many missed that prophetic personalities course? Only one person missed it. Who? How many are not available in the evenings at all? Like when the sun goes down, it's dark. Is everybody available in the evenings when the sun goes down and it's dark? Yeah. Would there be a willingness to want to get together and for however many weeks it is? Maybe even if you'd want to start over and just do 1 through 8. I mean, would there be a willingness to want to get together for fellowship? Yeah. See, these are the things, guys. This is what's healthy. That don't leave it up to me or Pastor Shelby to organize things. Yeah. Yeah. That's not this church. Now I will say this: obviously we want to make sure things don't go south. But the reality of the thing is this: Pastor Shelby and I both work full time jobs, more than full time jobs. And I don't. There may be things that I don't think about. I hate to say it to you. I was going to apologize to you for last year because, frankly, I wasn't available at all, hardly. Well, that's not true. So, please don't leave it up to Pastor Shelby and me to try to establish relationships like this with you guys. I hope, seriously, you're not waiting for me to organize something so that you can actually have a time. You guys have their phone numbers. You guys have each other's phone numbers. You all have them. You admitted it. It's too late. It's on tape. Part of authentic community is getting together with each other and saying, hey, let's, because out of those things, guess what? The Spirit of God sparks ideas. You're giving Him something to add to. Do you understand that? This is what authentic community is. So I'm just going to tell you this, and I really hope that I get reports that there were some phone calls made, that she's made an offer to whatever night it would be. You have to get with her on it. But I'll make those recordings available if you guys want to get together and go through them again. But get her number, call her, and you guys work something out. Yeah, and then you should call me and I'll get them over.
You know, for a month, and then you add to that next month another verse, but all this was like,
Yeah.
And then I got down to the city council on that I'd like to do with somebody that knows what they're doing.
Yeah. 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 Well. Sure.
Get all the crap put in my mind.
Yeah. That would be fantastic. And I'm tell you this, I see a day where we have so many folks in this church that are so willing to get involved with things that are going on in the city, whether it's city council meetings, whether it's, I'm not promoting watching the news on TV, but let's say, what if we had folks that scoped out the local news and found out people that had fires in their homes or disaster, they got hit with something or whatever, or there was needs that were brought up in those newscasts. What if we got wind of those things and we were able to get to those people and be a blessing to them? I'm telling you, folks, there's a lot of ways we can impact the city. We just have to be willing to think outside the box. That would be fantastic. Anything else? Matt, I've kept you a long time today. I'm so sorry. You guys good? You guys still know I love you, right? Well, if you want to go back and listen to this message again, you missed some things that's on the website. But these are the things the Spirit of God is going to do with us, amongst us this year. It's not an exclusive list. There are other things that He'll unfold. There's one particular one that I really believe in Him to open the door for that I didn't mention, because until He does, I don't want to mention it. But when He does, I will. Everybody stand up. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we just love you. We praise you, Father. We set our hearts to fall in love with you and discover you all over again in 2017. We're not satisfied just knowing you theologically or intellectually. We want to discover you. And Father, I thank you and praise you for the hearts of the people that are in this room. So good. We just love you and praise you. Father, I ask that your peace would rest upon each person in this room, but you give them revelation of what's in their heart, or what's in your heart. And you draw them into you like they've never experienced. And at the end of 2017, they'll be able to look back and say, wow, look what the Lord has done. And we just set our hearts and we set our meditation to be upon you, upon your power, upon the magnificence of your splendor. And we'll never stop talking about it in the presence of people. We just love you and praise you for it. Everybody agree with that prayer said? Amen. Amen, amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.